You're listening to the OMFIF podcast, the show that explores the latest insights and discussions on global finance, economics, and policy for people who love staying informed about the rapidly evolving landscape of the financial world. Join us as we break down complex topics, interview key thought leaders, and provide essential insights to keep you informed about the evolving world of finance.
Hello and welcome to the OMFIF podcast. My name is Lewis McClellan. I'm the editor of the Digital Monetary Institute here at OMFIF. And today we're going to be discussing pre-validation in payments. And I'm delighted to be joined by some experts in the industry. We've got Kiano Merku from SWIFT, who's head of strategic transformation there. Mireya Guisado Parra, who's the product owner of the Payment Pre-Validation Initiative at SWIFT. And from the Banque de France, we have Julien Lassalle, who's deputy director for retail payments policy and oversight. Thanks for joining us, everyone.
Thank you.
Yeah, and let's start with you. So the world of instant payments has been changing quite rapidly recently. And in our discussions with people in the market about this, we're hearing more and more talk about the concept of pre-validation and the confirmation of payees. Can you explain what it is and why it's important both for domestic and international payments?
Sure. Look, thank you. First of all, I just wanted to say thank you very much for inviting us here today. Really appreciate OMFIF inviting us in and also Julien joining us from Banque de France. This topic is one that gets me very excited. You wouldn't think something like pre-validation would create such a buzz, but actually it really does. And we're finding that whenever we have this conversation, there's just a huge enthusiasm to try and make it work. And I think, you know, as you say, some of the drivers for that include that payments are becoming instant, much, much faster than they ever have been. And there's G20 goals in terms of enhancing cross-border payments for the speed, the transparency, the cost, and the access. So really in this world of instant, getting your payment right the first time is key, because once it's gone, it's gone. And pre-validation, just to make sure that the listeners understand the concept, is quite a simple and easy to understand concept, even for those outside of financial services. We've all experienced that feeling where you're about to send some money to a friend or a business account, and you're just before confirming you're going to send the payment, you think, I hope I copied down the details correctly before you click send. Well, you know, that's been the way things have been up to a number of years ago. Now, what we have is in some countries, what's called confirmation of pay or verification of pay, which gives you the confidence to actually click send. And what that does is it checks with the bank you're sending the money to, that the account number you're sending it to sits with them, and that the name that you think that account number belongs to is the correct one. And basically, this gives you then, you know, the confidence to actually send that money through. And I think, you know, the service is important to you or I as individuals in the world, making payments to family or friends or businesses locally. And it's just as important to a large bank making payments to another bank, or an international corporate making payments overseas. So, you know, that's a bit of background on the drivers for why it's important, or what it is and why it's important. There's more to it as well. I think, you know, if you look at the cost to repair a payment, and this is more for wholesale payments, but when a large payment wholesale cross-border goes between two countries, it can cost anywhere between 50 and 100 euros to fix that payment if it's rejected. The industry term is unable to apply, and the majority of those rejected or unable to apply payments are due to the incorrect beneficiary details. I think it's somewhere north of 70%. So pre-validating those payments in advance really addresses that issue. And there's a huge benefit to the payment ecosystem and the costs that sit there by getting this right. I just add at the end that there are other types of pre-validation as well, something we call central validators, where you can auto-populate details to make sure that they're in there right the first time, you know, using an account number to draw in beneficiary or address details, or even to highlight specific fields you need to enter when you're going into specific countries. Because remember, each country has slightly different rules in terms of what they want to see for receiving a payment.
Yeah, that's something that we've heard a lot about, those kind of differing standards of what countries are expecting that data to look like seems to have been the source of a lot of challenges in this industry. And as you say, it's something that improving those sorts of the service and payments is something that we hear a lot about as a sort of strategic priority for the G20 and other international bodies. So it's great to hear that this is kind of taking off. Julien, I want to come to you next. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, how you guys are factoring this pre-validation concept into your models for the future payment system schemes and structures there, and how the Banque de France is interacting with it?
Yes, thank you. And first of all, I would like to thank you very warmly for the invitation for this video meeting, I would say. And of course, as central bankers, we have this mission of overseeing payment systems, payment instruments. And in France, we have a specific mission given by the French law that we are in charge of ensuring the security of payments, of retail payments. And we have made a lot of efforts under the European regulation, namely the Second Payment Services Directive, these last years, about, for instance, the implementation of strong customer authentication, about the implementation of scoring techniques within the banks, within the payment systems, in order to fight against fraud. But what we noticed at the same time is the development of new fraud techniques, scams, social engineering, manipulation of the payer, which tend to face the difficulty for fraudsters of making the validation of the payment order by himself. So in front of all these new fraud techniques, as regulators, we are now looking at additional services that may bring value in terms of security. And among those, there is, of course, the question of the confirmation of payee. So ensuring to the payer that when he is validating your payments, the IBAN that will receive the funds is the one that belongs to the beneficiary of the payments and not to somebody else like a fraudster. That's something very, very important for us and very promising in the European regulation. It has been embedded in the EU instant payment regulation that will be adopted soon by the European Parliament. And we believe that in addition to the mechanisms that have been implemented thanks to PSD2, we will have something more resilient against fraud. And that's very important for us because we are, as policymakers, supporting the implementation of instant payments. We are supporting the implementation of open banking. And we want to provide confidence to the users when using credit transfers from their mobiles, from their online banking interface. And that's why we have now this push with the regulation towards this kind of mechanisms. I just can say that in France, we had already one system in place called CEPAMail that provide this service of confirmation of payee. But at the origin, it was mainly developed for B2B payments, for corporates indeed, in order to ensure that the large payment volumes that are issued by corporates are safe. And when it was built, it was not conceived, I would say, as a service for consumers' payments. And when we are looking at the requirements of the IP regulation in Europe, we note that the existing service in France is probably not at the expectations in terms of speed. When you are issuing instant payments, you want an answer very immediately in order to ensure that the validation is correct. While it's not the way it works currently, it's mainly a sort of pre-validation of the payment orders for the corporates before sending the payment order to the banks. So there is an update to be done on the existing service in France. It will probably become closer to the operation of the payment system because for the moment, our service in France, CEPAMail, is operated by a private company owned by bank and was separated from the payment system itself. The French bankers have understood that there is some need for consolidation of this market, for closer integration of the confirmation of pay mechanism. So very recently, it has been announced that the operator of the French payment system was now becoming the main shareholder of CEPAMail in order to better integrate it within the payment system and the management of payment flows. And the last thing that I can answer about that is that we know that in different member states, not all, there are some existing systems that work regarding the confirmation of payee. But with different rules, different bases, probably different costs also for the users. There have been some initiatives in terms of interoperability. So the French service is now interoperable with the one in the Netherlands or in Italy. But for sure, the challenge for the future in order to address the expectation of the IP regulation in Europe would be to get to a more integrated system at the European scale.
Yeah, it does sound like there's a lot of value to be generated or kind of recaptured by making these systems a little bit more efficient. It does seem like we're in a kind of transitional period where we've got these, you know, quite sophisticated tools to make cross-border digital payments, you know, doing all this remotely, but we don't have all the systems in place to make sure that's happening safely and correctly. I wondered if you can give us a sense of the scale of that problem and what fixing it can bring about for the industry.
Yeah, sure. So I think one of the big issues we have is around fraud. And the opportunity here is to be able to have a set of services that will actually address being able to confirm that you are sending it to the right person. If you look at a number of the papers that are coming from central banks in different countries, I was reading one from Ireland there recently, push payment fraud is on the rise. And that's where you have a different name associated with a bank account. So you can have the name of a trusted institution, but the bank account of an unscrupulous individual. And you wouldn't know that the two aren't linked because you've no way of checking that historically. All of a sudden now you can actually check and make sure that the plumbing organization or, you know, that commodities supplier actually does hold that account with the institution that owns it. And that just brings a huge amount of confidence in terms of being able to actually trade with even, you know, parties that you've never even met before or have done for the first time in different countries cross border. So I think, you know, the first part of and we call it at Swift, we call it ecosystem value. Because, you know, we're really not trying to maximize revenues in our goals. What we're trying to do is actually bring in capabilities to the payment ecosystem, which actually, you know, bring value overall and uplift the transaction quality that sits in the payment ecosystem. And here you're going to remove fraud, which, you know, is a one-for-one loss. You make a 10,000 euro payment. You make it to the wrong account, you lose that 10,000 euros in a lot of cases. The other one is around the cost to actually repair payments. And there's quite an expensive operational capacity required, which estimates that on a wholesale basis, cross-border, it's between 50 and 100 euro to repair a payment. We take a block of transactions on Swift, you could be talking anywhere between 4 and 8 billion in terms of the ecosystem value that would be saved by getting those right, because a lot of those operational fixes are due to incorrect beneficiary details.
Thank you. Yeah, that's very clear.
If I can say a word about that, if we take the perspective of the final consumer, who is using instant payment or credit transfer, from their perspective, I'm pretty sure that most of the consumers believe today that when they are typing the IBAN and then the name of the beneficiary, the bank makes a control, which is not the case today. So when they realize that there was a fraud, they ask to the bank, why haven't you stopped the transaction? Because it was not consistent with the name of the beneficiary. Then he realized that there is no control indeed. So that's something that we are trying to inform the consumer about, but having in mind that in the near future, in the next 18 months, I would say, according to regulation, the things may change and that there will be more confidence for consumers when they are using credit transfer or instant payments in that field. And that's very important to bring this confidence to the clients.
Yeah, it's a little funny to think about people finding out that they weren't getting a service and they only find out when they suddenly do start getting it. They've been trusting something. But it'll be good to, as you say, have that confidence, because I think, you know, with frauds and so on the rise, people are genuinely getting more and more concerned about the security of something that they, you know, previously kind of took for granted as a relatively safe way to pay.
And Lewis, so we can understand why people take it for granted that service exists, but it's actually quite complicated to implement. And just spending a moment on why it's complicated is particularly in the cross-border space. So if you think about where the prevalence of these systems are at the moment, it's domestic. So generally you'll have a single character set for that country in terms of language. You know, you'll have a way that surnames exist and naming conventions exist. So when you actually try to match a name and account, if you do it in a single country like Italy, for example, you will have conventions that you can create an algorithm that will be able to match that through. The minute you start doing that cross-border, then you have to consider, you know, how do you manage that algorithm for a different character set or a different set of conventions? You know, you've got in Spain, you can have three surnames as opposed to two. and how much of a match do you need? Two of those three surnames, a full set of surnames, and then you're trying to actually tune the quality of the matching itself that comes through. So I hope I'm not getting too technical, but what I mean to say is that the minute you start going beyond a domestic check and bring in multiple countries, then you have to consider different languages, different character sets, and different, you know, appetites for risk in terms of what a match means. And I think that's one of the reasons why we're having this conversation at the moment, which is on the back of something like the EU instant payments reg. How do you actually create a cross-border, multi-country service which actually addresses, you know, those concerns? And at the moment, you have schemes in some of those countries, you have none in others, and none of them are yet interlinked. Therefore, there needs to be some mechanism to actually create those interlinkages and bring a set of standards so they can actually communicate to each other. And that's the progress that needs to be made over the coming months.
Thank you, Kim, for bringing in some of the complexities of actually delivering this kind of thing. Julian, anything you want to add on sort of obstacles or risks that come with introducing pre-validation?
Yes, I can say something. Just like I can say, the main problem comes from the cross-border confirmation of payee mechanism. And in the European Union, even if we have a single regulation saying that we have to implement that, the main risk that we have to face is fragmentation. We had the experience, for instance, of open banking, where we had several standards developed by the different countries, and where the interoperability of the service is a real question today. For the confirmation of payee, we have existing systems. We can make them compliant with the regulation. We can try to interoperate them. But at the end of the day, what we need is one single system enabling any PSP, any bank of the European Union to check the IBAN of the other banks without having to deal with several standards, several protocols to make that. And when you start from something that is not a white sheet of paper, it's a challenge, because we know that by definition, no industry wants to waste all the money invested in the national system. So there have been some interesting efforts over the last years to interoperate some systems. Now there should be one European effort to consolidate all this in one single system that meets the requirements of the instant payment regulation. And the other element, which is important also for us, is that we see in the same time the development of other ways of initiating payments, initiating credit transfers, like request to pay, like the use of payment solution for consumers using the phone number instead of the IBAN for the identification of the payee. So we have also to consider that in these specific setups, the way to carry out the pre-validation or the confirmation of payee might be different from what you can do on the online banking with just a single check on the IBAN. And we have to recognize in the regulation and in our practices as overseers that there is not only one system for all payments, that we have to look at the specific setups that can be implemented in specific solutions. The request to pay is something very interesting for the development in Europe. I know that it exists everywhere else in the world, but in Europe, starting. And also for the development of mobile solution based on IP. And we have in particular in mind the European Payment Initiative. And we want to be sure that as we promote this initiative, it will be able to match with the requirements of the IP regulation. Those are the main challenges that I can see on the road. And what is important for us is not to decide by ourselves as regulators, but to dialogue with the market. We have National Payments Committee. So in France, I'm the secretary of the French Payments Committee, and we discuss with the banks, with the payment systems, but also with the merchants, with the association representing the consumers, to ensure that the implementation of the regulations are going in the good direction, that the service will be easy to understand and to be used by the final users. And I know that there is the same mechanisms in the other countries and a European governance with the European Retail Payments Board, so that we have the whole picture in Europe and we can be sure that the implementation of the service will be done in good conditions.
Excellent, thank you. Well, let's keep on the theme of these challenges, but take a slightly more optimistic approach. Maria, do you want to talk to us a little bit about how we can overcome the challenges that we've laid out?
Yes, thank you, Lewis, and thanks for having me today. So in terms of what SWIFT can bring actually to the financial industry of in terms of benefits and the journey we embarked on already a couple of years ago with our initiative called Prevalidation is very much to tackle some of the challenges that were just raised, especially in the cross-border space, right? So as Kian already mentioned earlier on, pre-validation is very much a solution that SWIFT has created together with actually our members, so our banking members. And the goal is to offer a suite of API services to our banks that they can re-expose to the end customer in their online banking channels so that end customers can actually get access to these validation services to make sure that whatever payment data they're inputting during the payment preparation phase, that this is all pre-checked and validated before actually sending the payment. Now, all our services that we do, at least from a SWIFT perspective, are indeed bringing benefits to the community, but only if as many banks as possible use the services, right? So adoption has been a key, I would say, priority for SWIFT. So co-creating the solution with our banks, bringing the solution to market, making sure that our solutions are being used is really what drives us, is really very much what brings the benefit to the community. Now, maybe to bring some numbers where we are at in terms of the pre-validation adoption and usage, we have more than 300 banking institutions that have actually already signed up to our, registered to our solution. Again, we have a global coverage in terms of where those banks sit. Now, this is more from an inquiry perspective, so from a sending bank perspective, being able to offer those services to validate. On the flip side of everything of confirmation of payee topic, you need to actually have access to that data that needs to be validated, right? So you need to see this ecosystem as being two-sided. On one side, you have banks that want to send a cross-border payment, so they want to validate the data. But on the other side is the bank, the beneficiary bank, receiving actually that payment that needs to be able to do this real-time validation and checking real-time before receiving the actual payment that the account belongs indeed to that beneficiary person the money is being sent to. Now, that's what we call in our ecosystem the actual coverage of the service, right? So in terms of the beneficiary banks being able to offer this real-time validation, when we look at those numbers, we have today actually created two different ecosystems where SWIFT can, in the network of pre-validation, bring such coverage of accounts and names. On one side, we have direct banks that are already today actually part of this ecosystem as live banks, meaning that they are validating real-time accounts with the names. And we have a coverage to date with the solution in more than 39 countries. The second part of the solution that SWIFT has built to keep increasing the coverage is whereby SWIFT has access to real payment transactions, as well as through our GPI tracker capabilities. We have also access to know if an actual cross-border payment was successfully credited or rejected. Based on that information, we have been able to centrally, from a SWIFT capability, actually validate if an account has been seen on the SWIFT network and successfully credited in the recent 13 months. That's as well a solution that today is available in the context of pre-validation and is part of our ecosystem. Now, if we bring those two pieces together, meaning the banks that are today providing real-time name and account validation together with our reach in terms of our SWIFT network and the transactions that we see on our network, we're confident to say that we have a good amount of global coverage to be able to provide, I would say, a true cross-border payment pre-validation experience to our banking community. Now, of course, when we see already in some jurisdictions, there is confirmation of payee schemes that have been created throughout the recent years. Indeed, those solutions were targeting more domestic flows, domestic payment transactions. They have been very successful, I would say, in being rolled out and launched from a domestic perspective. Now, when we look at what SWIFT can bring to the table and the benefits that SWIFT payment revalidation can bring to the banking industry, is again when you look at the cross-border space, right? Now, we are not here from a SWIFT perspective to reinvent the wheel, right? We are here to actually say make sure that we can work together with those existing confirmation of PV solutions so that members that are have flows, domestic flows in countries where a solution exists, and as well they have cross-border volume on SWIFT, making sure that SWIFT can provide that interoperability layer where we can interconnect existing confirmation of PV schemes so that our members can have one single interface to get access to a global, I would say, confirmation of PE ecosystem, which is very much where SWIFT sees the value that we can bring to the financial industry.
Excellent, thank you. All right, well, Kian referred to kind of setting standards and using those to shape the industry a little bit earlier. Can you expand maybe on what he was talking about there and how you see that proceeding?
Sure. So when standards, the word standards, it's very close to SWIFT's heart, I would say. As you know, SWIFT being the ISO 20022 registration authority, right, for the ISO 20022 standard. So, of course, it's very much part of SWIFT DNA, making sure that we actually bring the financial industry together and we can work together to set such global standards. Now, in the space of confirmation of PE, there is today no obvious global standard, right? So in terms of what SWIFT sees and the journey we have already embarked on from a SWIFT perspective is that we are actually driving that standard, right? Making sure that this confirmation of PE ecosystem can become an ISO 20022 standard. When we say an ISO 20022 standard, we're talking here, of course, about API standards, not as such as messaging standards, but become an ISO 20022 API standard so that regardless if you are, I would say, a bank operating only in one jurisdiction or a bank operating in three different jurisdictions, that you will be able to use that same API standard to be able to communicate and as well have the same experience that you can offer to your end customer, because you know that sending a validation request to, let's say, a country, let's say Vietnam, for example, you will get the same experience than if you would send a validation request, for example, to France, right? You as an end consumer, you will get exactly the same experience because the same standard will be used. Now, again, I mentioned it is very much our DNA, and together with that, what we see as well in terms of benefits of creating that standards is that we can reduce the complexity from an implementation perspective for the banks, right? And as well as our role to help the industry to reduce fragmentation when it comes to the confirmation of PE ecosystem as such. So we're very, very excited to continue this journey with our banking members.
Yeah, thank you, Maria. It does sound very important to reduce the frictions that people are facing in the payments industry. We're running short of time now, but Kian, perhaps you can sum up what we're talking about there, the importance of reducing those frictions. What are the implications are for global macroeconomic trajectory, for financial stability of getting this pre-validation concept deployed correctly?
Yes, I think the big one is going to be around, it's a very small idea, just checking that the details are correct, right? As I said, there's other facets to it as well. You can put in additional and pre-populate information and make sure you've got the right information for the country. So it's really trying to make the just sending a payment easier, and it should be, and it should be unnoticeable, and it will be in the years to come. But the overall implication is that the easier it is to send a payment, the more payments get made. And the more confidence we have in terms of sending those payments, again, the volume of them will increase and will create connections where there wasn't before. And that's both domestically, but even more importantly, cross-border. And if you think about, you know, countries and trade routes and even dependencies between businesses, smaller businesses, to be able to make payments into suppliers and countries from west to east or even the other way around as they grow, we will definitely see an increase in that trade and those trade channels on the back of this confidence. And one of the partners we're working with at the moment in the country is specifically for that, to facilitate increased confidence in making payments into that country. The other piece then is around removing significant cost from the ecosystem. And that's reducing the operating cost to fix these things, as well as reducing the fraud that's there. Now, again, it won't remove either of them entirely, but it will take a massive upwards of 70% of that cost and of that risk out of the services, as far as we can speculate at the moment. So I think, you know, those are the two key factors that are on a fairly simple idea. But what happens next is really key. Trying to, as Julien said, interconnect these capabilities and create the capacity where it doesn't exist is what we need to see happen next. And there's a lot of eyeballs looking to see how that will work for Europe, because it feels at the moment, even though the instant payment regulation has been published, that there isn't an obvious solution to make it work. And what's happening at the moment is the market is stepping in to try and see if it can make this thing work. And the obvious solution is to try and make sure that for those solutions that exist domestically, to interconnect them, and for where they don't exist, to create them. But you're going to have some experimentation that's going to happen. You'll see some bilateral connections that'll happen between schemes, but we don't believe that's sustainable at Swift. We think, you know, the amount of bilateral connections you will need to keep is just unmanageable to create the SEPA area going. You need a multilateral solution. And at the moment, this is what, you know, we're proposing Swift can do. We can provide that standardization, that mechanism to communicate between locations, and we can use schemes, again, where they exist, or help support them where they don't. And that's what, you know, we will be driving in terms of our strategy going forward. We've already announced a partnership with CBI, which is the Italian domestic scheme, to connect through to the network. As part of that announcement, we're also working with SurePay, which is in the Netherlands, another confirmation of pay scheme. And what we're going to be doing is building up those relationships and creating that network, which will allow the service to run.
Okay, thank you, Kian. Yeah, as you say, yeah, clearly something where there's some big potential implications for the economy of getting this right. That's the main things I wanted to ask about. I wondered if there was any other topics you guys wanted to highlight that we haven't covered.
Yes, please. I'd love to ask Julien a question in terms of, if we look to how the European instant payment regulation requirements might be satisfied. At the moment, if we look at, say, Germany, there isn't a domestic scheme there today. In some other countries, there are schemes. How do you, Julien, see this thing panning out in terms of the timelines prescribed based on what's in the market and what's available today?
The fact is that's a real challenge, because we'll have 18 months to build something running in the whole European Union, including countries like Germany, where there is no service of this kind now. The fact is that the European Payments Council has been mandated by the banks to develop the standards and the infrastructure of such service at the European scale. And probably that the faster way to do it is to build on the existing infrastructure. So try to duplicate or to enlarge the perimeter of the existing solution to cover the countries that are out of this kind of system for the moment. But that's a real challenge according to the timeline. And we'll do our best as overseers, but also policymakers, to support the private sector in that direction. Maybe another element that I can say for conclusion from my side is that obviously the security of payments is a public good, but it's also an important component to the trust in money. That's at the heart of our mission as central banker, to ensure that public has confidence in money. So there is a direct link with what we are doing here, building new solutions for ensuring the security of payments.
So we'll leave it there. I want to thank all of you for joining me today and sharing your insights. Great to have you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Fantastic. And yeah, we hope to continue this discussion later in the year. We're always talking about developments in the payments industry, particularly in our Future of Payments report, which will be published at the end of the year. And you can check out our website, onfif.org, to see upcoming events, commentaries, reports, our research on this and many other topics. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of the OnFif podcast. If you found today's conversation engaging, Make sure to stay tuned for additional thought-provoking discussions on worldwide finance, economics, and policy by subscribing to our channel. Stay connected of the latest developments by following us on our LinkedIn page, OMFIF Digital Monetary Institute.